The following is a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.
Well, hi there, everybody. I'm Sean Wood, and welcome to the Sprint Car Show here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. We kick off our 12th season of our podcast with an interview with Ryan Kricke, the team manager for the famed Kricke Motorsports 410 Sprint Car based in Bunbury, Western Australia. That interview is next here on the Sprint Car Show, brought to you by Kinzer Air Filters, proudly made in the USA.
With more than 30 years' experience in the industry, Kinzer Air Filters have earned the trust of racers from local tracks to the national scene. Kinzer Air Filters offers a 360 dome positive charged air filter, the cleanest air filter on the market. Easy to use, can be cleaned with soap and water. From sprint cars and midgets to late models, drivers rely on Kinzer Air Filters as a brand they can trust while being economically affordable. Trust, support, and pride. Three words that will sum up your experience with Kinzer Air Filters. Roger Kinzer believes in his clients and thanks everyone for their continued support. To learn more, call Roger at 812-327-7103. That's 812-327-7103. Keep watching for the newly redesigned Kinzer Air Filter website. Kinzer Air Filters, proudly made in the USA.
G'day, this is Linton Jeffrey, and you're listening to the Sprint Car Show with Sean Wood.
Welcome back to the Sprint Car Show here on the Dirt Track Channel. Glad to have you with us here in our 12th season, bringing you sprint car happenings and news from around the world. And for the first time, and it's a bit of a melancholy type of time for me right now, because his late brother, Shane Kricke, and I got to know each other quite well through our conversations over the year. As many of you know, Shane put up one hell of a battle with cancer the second time around and fought fiercely until his life ended in 2016. And of course, the Kricke family, well known in the Western Australia area in Bunbury. And coming up on Saturday at the Bunbury Speedway, it's the 25th annual Kricke Boys Shootout in memory of Daryl and Jason Kricke, who lost their lives tragically back in 1997. And, of course, now Shane a part of that when we welcome in the team manager for the Kricke Boys Motorsports and Shane's younger brother, Ryan Kricke. Ryan, it's great to speak with you, and welcome to the Sprint Car Show. Thanks for taking time out of work there at Bunbury Toyota to join us here and talk about the upcoming 25th annual Kricke Boys Shootout.
Yeah, hi, Sean. Yeah, thanks for reaching out and asking to have me on the show. It's cool to know that the name, the race team, the race especially, kind of has a reach as far as. As far as yourselves over there in America. So, but yeah, thanks for contacting me.
Oh, you're quite welcome. And your brother was just a wonderful person. We had great conversations. And of course, the two of us hit it off from the first time we talked because we're both Carlton Blues fans. So, sorry, fans, I didn't have the music. I probably would have gotten run out of Western Australia anyway for playing the Carlton fight song. But then again, I did talk to your brother that maybe we should have gone through Collingwood with the windows down, driving as fast as we can and flying the Carlton flag and playing it before we got, you know, a few people upset.
Yeah, probably at your peril.
Yeah.
At your peril.
Yes, that it is. But it is, it's really good to talk to you. Before we get into the Kricke Boys Shootout, I'd like to have you tell our international listening audience how Kricke, well, it wasn't Kricke Motorsports back then, but your father, Peter, and one of the six kids of the Kricke family, how did Speedway get into the Kricke blood, and how did that blossom really back in 1979?
Yeah, it's kind of a long story, but a long story short, Dad has And yeah, so we've got him to blame for all this quickie motorsport stuff and our entrenchment into the sport. I guess for everybody, it all starts somewhere. But I guess Dad's always been a pretty keen car guy. You know, back in the day, they had their street cars, which, you know, they kind of hotted up and did the motors up, and they all looked pretty trick. And that kind of then led to, as he got a little bit older, to get involved in a little local speedway here. They used to take their him and one of his mates shared a car. They'd tow this thing to the little speedway just 5 minutes out of town here and race it around on a Sunday afternoon, you know, pretty just an unsanctioned thing, just sort of roll up and have your race. So the appetite for speedway has always been there, I guess. And then that once he sort of got the car dealership up and rolling, he was supplying the push utes out at the Bunbury Speedway. So this is back in sort of 78, 79. And then, the summer of 79, Bob Trossel came out with three guys. He bought three cars out here, and Dad sort of said to Bob, well, look, if you need somewhere to work on them, you can bring them down to the car dealership and, you know, wash them out the back and use the workshop and, you know, all that sort of stuff. It was obviously pretty agricultural back in the day, but... So really just that introduction kind of got those two talking. And then Bob hadn't sold the gear and obviously didn't want to take it home. So, the conversation started, and Dad said, oh, well, you know, instead of taking it home, maybe I'll buy it off you. So Dad bought it from him. He knew the promoter. Dad knew the promoter out at Bunbury pretty well, John Fenton, who's a pretty famous midget guy over here. And has done a lot for the sport in Australia and WA especially. So they had the use of the track. Ron went out and he was going to be the guy to drive it. Dad sort of didn't really have an interest in racing it by then. The business was really starting to take off. He didn't have the time. So he spoke to Ron, who's the younger brother, the youngest brother of the four boys. So he went out and just kind of made laps in this thing until he got halfway fast, and then they just started going to like the country races, and then that kind of took them through the grades. Back in the day, I think there was a B grade and an A grade. So they went through the grades, and John, the next oldest son to Ron, he was kind of the crew chief, so they sort of did that together, and then Ron sort of started to pick up a few wins here and there, and then they started to go to Perth and race at Claremont and then at Bunbury, and it sort of just evolved from there. Ron started to gain success, went on and raced for Jeff Murphy, I think it was, when he first left. So back in the day, it was called Bunbury Toyota Racing. He went to race for Jeff Murphy, then John hopped into the car and had his stint in it, won a WA title, WA Speed Week. Then he picked up another ride, then sort of Shane got in it, and then it kind of evolved from there. So, yeah, that's a long story short.
And it's a very interesting story, especially when you consider a National Sprint Car Hall of Fame member, Bob Trossel, all the way over there racing. I know he had a lot of success throughout his career there in Australia. And even when you look at the guys who have raced in the Cricky Motorsports, you got Donnie Schatz, Kerry Madsen, and of course the incredible run you guys had with Brooke Tatnall. When do you think that all took off and became the powerhouse team that you guys are now?
It was probably Shane's vision, I guess, that took us there. So really, Shane kind of did his few years behind the wheel, and that's when he first, I don't know, he must have been 7 or 8 years in, I'm going to say. I kind of was sort of the crew chief for him then. We didn't have any full-time mechanics or whatever, so I was working at the dealership, and then this, like, the race car team was kind of an after-hours thing, which it obviously is for a lot of people still. So I did a couple of stints over in America, worked with Hod. I actually got to know Donnie pretty well over there in 96 and 99. And then Shane kind of got diagnosed with cancer there in 98. I think it was 98, 99. So he couldn't do any racing, and sort of between all of us, we kind of had these contacts, and he sort of said, well, you know, if I can't race, and I wasn't at that stage or at that level to go and race, you know, it would have meant, you know, we basically would have parked it up, and, you know, perhaps I would have got in it and kind of done some winter racing and perhaps come up through the grades as well. But we sort of made the decision as a family, and at that point in time, whether Shane can't race it, maybe we'll go and get ourselves. And we had Keith Giles kind of helping us out a little bit as well, and also working on Michael Ron's car at the time. So we said, well, maybe we can get Keith Giles and maybe import a driver, and we'll go on the road and do World Series for 1 year, just to kind of say that we've done it. By then, yeah, you know, and this is kind of how narrow-minded we were about cancer, I suppose. We're sort of thinking, you know, we'll just take the year off. We'll go on the road for 1 year. We'll get a mechanic. We'll get a driver. I went on the road. I was going to go on the road with the car as well. And then we'll do that for one season, and then Shane will be kind of cured and get back in the car and race it again, sort of, you know, the seasons after that. Obviously, that never happened. So kind of really that summer of 99, 2000, that we brought Donnie out, that kind of showed us that we probably had, we had the smarts and we had the right idea to take the show on the road. And then, yeah, it just kind of sort of snowballed from there, I suppose. We kind of never, ever really looked back. Once we hit the road, we never looked back. We're not really into taking backward steps. It's always, you just got to keep going forward. It's continual, continual improvement day in, day out. So, for us, it just kind of snowballed from there. And then, Shane obviously managed the team for a long time. And, yeah, we had that really good run. We've had a lot of guys in the car, but, probably the sweet spot in the whole team's history, I suppose, was the time with Brooke. You know, we won a lot of races, a lot of World Series championships, some Australian titles, basically every race on the calendar at least once with Brooke. So yeah, we had a really good run with that, and that obviously, when you go good and you got good guys around you, it's kind of easy to keep your tail in the air and just keep at it. You know, if we had some ordinary years and getting our butt whooped, when then we probably might have gone in a different direction with it. But the success keeps you hungry. So yeah, it just kind of snowballed on from that first year with Donnie, really.
And of course, the thing that has stood out over these past few years since your brother passed away back in June of 2016, and in our conversations, was the tenacity at which he attacked the cancer, going out there, making it public, but also encouraging people with that slogan, "We got this." In the years that I have known people through motorsports and through sailing, the thing that has always struck me about the Australians, you're laid back people, but you're extremely hardworking people, and there's a tenacity about that. I'm just curious, from your standpoint, being around your Uncle Ron, Uncle John, and your dad, the tenacity that is and defines the Crickey family, where did that actually come from? And when do you recall how you learned about what the success story was built upon to get you to where you guys are at now and to where you are moving forward?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Something to get your head around, I suppose. I think while we've got Dutch heritage, so it might not be tenacity. It might be bullheadedness or pigheadedness, perhaps, or it might be more of a personality trait than an actual conscious decision to stay motivated. But my grandfather was probably the most tenacious person you'd ever meet. Really big character. He was European. He was, in actual fact, my dad and one of the brothers was born in Holland, so they were kind of like a modern day refugee, if you like. They wanted to get out of Holland, and a lot of people were trying to get out of Europe at the time. It's basically, they were in a recession, so they were right around the time of the wars and just after. Everybody was kind of getting out of Europe, and they came to Australia. And the only way you were going to make a life for yourself was to work hard. And I think that's just been handed down, over the generations. We've probably been lucky to find ourselves in an industry like the car industry that has kind of suited us, I suppose. I don't know. It's just I think we're all quite mentally strong. When we go through, when we go through hard times, whether it's the loss of a loved one or a family member, or something else that's really quite difficult to deal with, I think we bounce back really good. I think we're just really resilient. I think it's a really big mental thing that we have. Like I was saying about the race team earlier, it's just kind of continual improvement. You know, we're not really ones to kind of stand still. It's all about, how do we get better? How do we get better? And I think that's bred that's kind of created a lot of success with the race car team and the businesses, having good people around you. I think you need to be a really good judge of character as well. It's easy to get kind of tied up with someone that's not really quite the right fit, and then you start slipping backwards, and it's kind of hard to recognize, or can be hard to recognize where the actual issue is. So I think it's having good people around you make the job a lot easier, but it's the tenacity is just kind of a trait that we were born with. I think we're quite mentally strong, it's kind of put us in good stead, I suppose.
We'll be back with part two of our interview with Ryan Crickey in just a moment.
With more than 30 years' experience in the industry, Kinzer Air Filters have earned the trust of racers from local tracks to the national scene. Kinzer Air Filters offers a 360 dome positive charged air filter, the cleanest air filter on the market. Easy to use, can be cleaned with soap and water. From sprint cars and midgets to late models, drivers rely on Kinzer Air Filters as a brand they can trust while being economically affordable. Trust, support, and pride. Three words that will sum up your experience with Kinzer Air Filters. Roger Kinzer believes in his clients and thanks everyone for their continued support. To learn more, call Roger at 812-327-7103. That's 812-327-7103. Keep watching for the newly redesigned Kinzer Air Filter website. Kinzer Air Filters, proudly made in the USA.
We're talking with Ryan Crickey, the team manager for Crickey Motorsports, is coming up on Saturday at the Bunbury Speedway in the WA, and in Bunbury, actually. It is the 25th annual Crickey Boys Shootout in honor of Darrow and Jason Crickey, who lost their life on the way back from a Speedway test. What do you remember about your cousins? And from everything that I've read, Darrow had a very... Well, they both had a very promising future. Darrow was the racer. What do you remember about those the kids back in the day?
Look, obviously, I remember a lot about them. To paint the picture, Darrow was 1 year older than me, and Jason was 1 year younger. And kind of within the family, Dad, Ron, and John. All work together at the Toyota dealership. So Dad is kind of dealer principal here. Ron used to be the general manager, I suppose, and John was the spare parts manager. So those three, just kind of like the way it all sort of panned out, the three of us, myself, Jason, and Darrell, would always kind of be at Bunbury Toyota. That's where Dad was. Our schools were not too far apart. The race cars were kept out the back in some sheds at the back of the dealership. So we're always Bunbury has a smallish town centre. It's probably not too different than Knoxville. I don't think the size of it. So we were always kind of together. We were pretty much we're kind of best mates back in the day, and that was right from really young growing up. Right till the last day. Darrell was he had a huge character. Found himself in a bit of trouble, not necessarily trouble with the law, but he was probably more the rat bag one. A lot more like Ron, quite a big personality. Jason was certainly the quieter of the two, which is a lot more like John. Darrell's driving career or racing career and ability was really starting to flourish. He had a pretty good opportunity. He was in a pretty good ride at the time. And Jason was his mechanic, not necessarily crew chief, but he was kind of his mechanic with him. But super smart. He was a mechanic here at the dealership at the time, motor mechanic. So both had really good lives in front of them, for sure. That were obviously tragically cut short. But they were kind of my two best mates at the time. Daryl was actually living with one of my best mates, Jason was as well. They were both renting a room off one of my best mates while they were kind of between houses. So the way it all sort of panned out was really quite freaky in the end.
Just out of curiosity, Daryl and Shane, were they sort of the same type of larger than life personality, so to speak?
Nah, different again. I don't think that there really wasn't two Daryls. Shane was a lot more diplomatic. He was obviously older than him, so he was 7 years older than me, so 6 years older than Daryl. Shane was always the common sense one. He did well at school. Myself, Daryl, and Jason kind of didn't really want to be there for us. For us, it was more of a social thing. Academically, we weren't really into it. Whereas Shane was better at school and probably applied himself to that sort of thing, a lot better. And then as kind of life went, he probably had the better business, the more of a business head or the business brain than anyone. The rest of us, we just kind of fumble our way through and make it work. And, we're probably more about the people than the actual process. So, quite different people.
Okay, I was just curious, just from the way you described it, I was sort of thinking that there may have been a little bit of a personality between the two of them, Daryl and Shane, but as you described it, is a little bit different. Speaking of school, your current driver, Dane Kingshott, he's come up through the ranks, national midget champion now in his second year in the 410 sprint cars for you guys, currently fourth in the Mattington Toyota Sprint Car Series point standings. Tell us a little bit about him and your crew chief and how school ties together for those two guys.
Yeah, so that's a really interesting, I said it's a really interesting story. I've known Dane for, he's a Bunbury kid, so he lives in the same town that we're in. His dad actually used to, I think you'd probably call him a crew chief back on Shane's car. When Shane kind of first started getting going, his dad worked here at Bunbury Toyota. And then there was Dane. So what is he? He must be a good 13 or 14 years younger than me. I think Dane is just approaching 30. So he was kind of this young kid that kind of used to come and hang around with his dad and stuff. So I really know Dane since he was in diapers, you'd almost say. And his dad always had a bit of an interest in speedway and stuff. And he got into, as he sort of got a little bit older, I think it's like 10 or 11, he got into a junior sedan. And so he's kind of come through the ranks. He's always been self-funded, which always makes it really hard. We actually sponsored his junior sedan here with Bunbury Toyota. We've also got the Subaru dealership here in town as well. And as soon as he got into it, went and bought a midget, I started sponsoring their midget with the Subaru dealership. So there's always been a bit of a connection there for us. And Maddie, our crew chief, who has run Cricky Motorsport for us since Kerry's first year, or actually, Kerry's second year with us. He and Dane have been best mates since school. So they kind of met each other in school and have been kind of best mates ever since. And then when Dane got into the speedway stuff, Matt kind of followed, and he was kind of Dane's mechanic and crew chief, and he actually was the crew chief on Dane's midget when he won the national title. And they've been to America and raced together with midgets. They've been to New Zealand and raced together, raced all over Australia together. And then kind of Dane was going to start to slow the midget program down. Money became harder to find, and time and all the rest of it. He's got two young kids now, Dane, so it was all kind of getting pretty hard. And I just happened to have a conversation with Maddie one day, and we needed a crew chief. That sort of led into Maddie coming on board to run Cricky Motorsports for us. And then, the way that the world has panned out, obviously we haven't been able to get Kerry back in the country the last couple of years, and I didn't want to leave the race car in the shed for any length of time. So I kind of got to thinking about who to put in it. And I'd always said to Matty that I think it'd be really cool if I could put Dane and Matt together, even if it was just for one night at the end of the season when Kerry goes home. Our season with Kerry here is quite short. The old sliding doors sort of a scenario, it closed on Kerry and opened on Dane. So put those two together and we've had a really good season and a half so far. It's been great fun. It's really good to see those guys kind of work together, and you can just see that they're on the same page all the time. You know, that chemistry can be really hard to get from mechanic to the driver or vice versa. But those two guys got such a long relationship and such a long history together. They kind of bounce off each other really well, and they're doing a great job. Yeah, so it's quite a cool story.
And speaking of Kerry, just yesterday we received word that Australia is now open to international travel for those who are vaccinated. I'm sure that's going to make for some interesting conversations as to how you move forward with a second-year 410 driver who's having a pretty darn good year and bringing in the veteran like Kerry Mattson.
Yeah, the borders, WA, Western Australia, is still kind of shut to a point still, which is a little bit unfortunate. Originally, the date of February 5 was going to be when WA opened up, and then there was a bit of an outbreak, so that kind of got pushed out a month. But my original thought for this weekend was to bring Kerry down here if it was kind of quarantine free, because the deal is when you fly in, you've got to, at the moment, vaccinated or not, you've still got, I think it's 14 days quarantine, so you're basically locked up in a hotel room for 14 days before you can get out at your expense. So logistically impossible to bring anyone in, really. But originally had the borders open, I was going to bring Kerry down and run two cars for this weekend. I couldn't do it to Dane, and you know, after he's been done such a good job for the last year and a half, tip him out to pull Kerry in, I just, you know, I wouldn't do that. We're committed to the point series here for this season. So I was gonna run the two cars for this weekend. The time will come where the borders open up and the world kind of returns back to normal as far as travel goes. Our intention is to hit the road with World Series again next year with Kerry. I'm in constant contact with him, his brother as well, Ian, who is actually out here racing on the East Coast at the moment. Looking forward, in an ideal world, we'd probably kick off, and I've had the conversation with Dane, you know, if he gets approached by someone else or there's a ride there for him to get in, providing it's going to only, you know, increase the price of his stocks and not get into something that might, he's going to struggle in. The way that we're thinking for next season is kind of, we can start pretty early with Dane, as early as October, is do sort of 2 or 3 months with Dane, and then Kerry comes out, we go on the road, do the World Series, which is pretty short and sharp, really. It's kind of late December, January, and then all done by the end of February. So it's really a hit and run sort of raid. So we'll go on, chase the World Series, go on the road with Kerry, come back, park that car, and put Dane back in the car for the second half of the series. Obviously, we won't be able to race for series points, but it's still, we can still go racing from October through to April instead of end of December to the end of February, so, which is kind of typically all we've really done before.
Well, they did mention about some kind of sub-variant that's now here with Omicron here in the U.S., so we'll have to see. But hopefully, by the time next year rolls around, they'll have a much better hand on it, because I just can't see how they can make you live in a hotel for 2 weeks and go, oh, by the way, here's the bill. You know, you're coming here, you're going to do work, but oh, by the way, we're going to bill you for staying here for quarantine for 2 weeks. So hopefully all of that is done and over with before next racing season gets here. Again, this Saturday, the Bunbury Speedway in Bunbury, Western Australia, is the 25th annual Cricky Boys Shootout in memory of Daryl, Jason, and Shane. And we've been blessed to have Shane's younger brother, Ryan Cricky, the team manager for Cricky Motorsports, joining us here on the Sprint Car Show. Mate, thanks so much. It's been great talking with you, great hearing the stories as to how the Cricky Motorsports family came to be, Like I said, loved your brother. He was just a great guy. I always enjoyed chatting with him. And it's been very nice to be able to have you take time out of your very busy day, a very successful Bunbury Toyota dealership and all the other dealerships, and join us here on the Sprint Car Show. I greatly appreciate your time today.
No, anytime, Sean. Honored to be on. And yeah, like I said, thanks for reaching out and considering having me on and giving our race some more global exposure, I suppose. It's nice to it's nice to know that it's thought about and has a reach as far as the U.S.
Well, you're quite welcome. When we have you back on next time, I might have to dig up and get permission from Carlton to play the fight song. And that may not go over well with some of you guys, as I know you're not Carlton fans, but God rest your brother's soul. I know he'd be smiling in heaven.
Yeah, he'd be happy to sit here and talk Carlton with you all day.
Well, I was hoping to look forward to that, but circumstances as it was, I was blessed to be able to get him on and have him on the show a few times. Ryan Cricke, team manager for Cricke Motorsports, joining us here on the Sprint Car Show. We thank you for listening to our 12th season kickoff podcast of the Sprint Car Show here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. A lot more interviews to come your way and a few special surprises as well. Stay tuned for that and more here on the Sprint Car Show. Thank you for listening, everybody. I'm Sean Wood.
This has been a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.